Good morning, EAA. It's Tuesday, the second day of Air Venture. I am having a good time. The sun is shining. We got a little bit of cloud out there, but it's not impeding anything. And my guest today is Mary Jones, who is the director of publications and the editor-in-chief of Sport Aviation Magazine, which is the flagship magazine for the Experimental Aircraft Association. Mary, welcome to the show today. How are you doing?
Good morning, Amy. I'm doing fine. It is an absolutely gorgeous day here in Wisconsin.
Where it's not too hot, right?
Where it's not too hot, unlike last week, which we're happy about.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Now, you have been moving at warp speed preparing for this. You're doing Air Venture today,
yes.
Right? That's under your direction as well, the newspaper here.
Yes.
That's a daily. Now, what's it like to shift from monthly to daily mode?
I would never want to work on a daily newspaper. No. You know what? It's kind of fun for 1 week a year. We've got a bunch of folks that from staff who come down and work on the Air Venture Today building. Then we bring in a bunch of, you know, talented freelance journalists to help us out. We've had a crew that's been coming back, some of them from the very beginning of Air Venture Today with Dave Higdon and folks like that. So we have a really, really strong group of people who just, you know, they start coming in last Thursday and Friday. We moved from our offices up in the Air Venture, in the museum last Thursday afternoon and came down here. And, you know, we took that building that's used for 1 week a year, basically, and turned it into a newspaper office. And it's kind of magical how it happens. It's kind of like Air Venture, the whole thing. It's just, you know, this is my 28th Air Venture as an employee, and it's still magical to me how this comes together. So, yeah, It's fun, but it's no, I don't fun. Think I'd ever want to work on a daily.
There you go.
Monthly's enough.
The pace really picks up, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Now, to your credit, you plan months in advance. That's not saying that you write the stories months in advance,
no.
But you do a lot of planning to make sure that all the spots in that newspaper get filled.
Yes, we do. We start months ahead. You know, we participate in all of the communication planning meetings with everybody who's part of the Air Venture development team. So we know as we're building up for the event, we kind of know what our main focuses are going to be on certain days and things like that. But a lot of it does happen pretty last minute in a way in the last couple of weeks where we're really honing in and finalizing you know, what stories are going to go where or when. Yet at the same time, it really all is a daily operation.
That's
where it changes.
That's what I was going to say.
It changes daily.
You've got to have spontaneity.
Yes.
Different stuff happens every day here.
You know, some airplane that we're expecting to arrive today doesn't arrive, and so that story doesn't really fit today. And we're always working a day or two ahead, so it's interesting.
Well, and see, there's a key point that it's really important for people to know, because I know you have people who walk into that building and they've got a story for you, and they don't realize sometimes that you're working a day or two ahead,
right.
Even on a daily.
Right.
It's key. You can't have somebody say, hey, this happened yesterday.
Well, that was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
That was yesterday.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it goes.
The old news thing really,
yes,
really does stick here. Air Venture Today's building is behind where the old tower used to be.
Yes.
Not far from where the first aid building is.
Correct.
Right? I know the first aid building. They are a good source of water if you're in an emergency, or sunscreen if you suddenly feel yourself getting burnt. Do
yes.
not let yourself get burnt around here.
Yes.
Just because it's comfortable doesn't mean that you're not getting sun. It's really, really important. You see all kinds of interesting things here on the field. What has been the coolest thing you saw yesterday, Mary?
Well, yesterday, well, some of the stuff I saw before yesterday, because I'm out here. I've been out here since Friday. The Super Chub, which is just right outside the radio building here.
Yeah, now, what is a Super Chub? I was looking at that. I was kind of eyeing it this morning, going, you know, the landing gear doesn't look right for that.
No, it doesn't.
What is it?
It started out, Brandon Jewett is the man who built the airplane. He's 6'5", and so a Super Cub doesn't quite fit him. So he started out with a Wag Aero 2+2 plans and just went from there. And he had a whole list of of things that he wanted to have in his airplane, besides legroom and besides heat. He's from Colorado, does a lot of cold weather flying. He wanted the gear high for some kind of bush flying and things like that. So he's got a whole list of things he wanted to accomplish, and so he made the modifications and calls it a Super Chub. It's in today's paper. There's a story in today's paper. You can check it out.
I will check it out. My question to you is, you can do that in experimental aviation, right?
You can do that in experimental. That's the beauty. Yes.
Yeah.
That is the beauty.
Yeah, you don't need an STC. You don't need an FAA field approval.
Nope.
It's you. No. I'm not encouraging people to go out there and become an aerospace designer on the fly.
Not unless they have a lot of training.
There is science to it.
Right.
You really do have to understand what load factors do.
Yes.
What metal strength, weld strength,
mm-hmm.
how is this going to behave in flight?
Yes.
Things
metal
like
fatigue.
That.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
All those.
Drag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Drag is a drag.
And he's got some big tires on there that I'm sure provide some drag.
Yeah.
One of the other airplanes that I've seen, I haven't seen it fly yet, but I will, is the electric Laser down in the ultralight area.
Oh, sweet. I
Dale
haven't had
Kramer.
A chance to see that.
Dale Kramer from the original Laser guy is here with an electric-powered Laser on a monofloat.
Really?
Flies every morning and evening, weather permitting, so I need to make sure I get down there in time to see that.
Yeah, I'm hoofing it down there for that, too. So every morning early?
Around 8, if my memory serves me correctly, Amy, I think it's between 8 and 9, and then it'll fly after the air show when the ultralights pick up again. And I'm going to bet he's probably going to fly later in the as the winds calm down, but I don't know that for a fact. So after the air show, head down to the ultralight area and look for the electric Laser.
Yeah, people seem to sometimes forget that ultralight area is there. You've got to go south.
Oh,
go south. There's not just a North 40 here at Oshkosh. There's actually a South 40 running down, and there's campers down there.
Yes.
You walk past the vintage aircraft. It's really a lovely stroll.
It really is. And if there's, of course, there's trams. You can,
Exactly.
You can hop the various trams and get down there.
Yep.
Or if you see me zipping by on my golf cart,
that's true. Don't be afraid to stop an EAA official golf cart. They also are your customer service reps, if
yes.
I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. If you're having an issue, if you have trouble getting around a little bit and you're walking and you're starting to feel real tired and you see somebody in one of these nice blue staff shirts on a golf cart, then it's okay for you to flag them down.
It's
okay. That's what they're there
for.
Yeah,
if somebody is really on a mission and they just can't do it, they'll try to find another way to help you out.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here on Around the Patch with Amy Labota. Mary Jones, thank you so much. If they want to know more about your publication, they can go to EAA.org or AirVenture.org.
Exactly.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you again.
Thank you.